I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello listeners, welcome to another episode of Marek Makes a Movie, in which I talk to filmmakers about their experiences in making films, with the aim of raising funds to make my own film. Currently, I've raised £598.70. Thank you very much, listeners. You can donate or find out more about my filmmaking project by going to mareklarwood.com/Marek Makes a Movie. Just go to mareklarwood.com, click on the links where you can also donate. And what have I been doing with that money? Well, I've been spending more on it. I bought a couple of external hard drives for storage. 4 terabyte ones. No one is really interested in me talking about hard drives, but you can also see on there where I'm spending the money. Anyway, this episode, I spoke to Matthew Skillington, who makes films for the internet, and he's making a pilot with his sketch group. And I wanted to speak to him specifically about fundraising, because he's was one of the few cases of making money using Kickstarter. So if you're interested in how to raise funds through Kickstarter for your film, he's got several good tips. And also he gives some other valuable advice. All right, that's enough from me. I hope you enjoy it. Here's the interview. It's Marek Makes a Movie. What's it about? I'll tell you. Talking to filmmakers about stuff, editing, camera work, directing, acting, all sorts, mainly bullshit.
Do you call yourself Matthew Skillington or Matt Skillington?
I'm usually credited as Matthew Skillington, but Matt Skillington to you.
I'm round Matthew Skillington's house. And if you don't know Matthew Skillington, he is a member of the Skillington family and also a member of the Seldom.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank.
LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Differ sketch group. One of my two favourite internet sketch groups, you and Broken Toaster. Mm-hmm. And the reason I got you to do this remarkably popular podcast is that you managed to do one of the only successful Kickstarter fundraising campaigns I have ever seen. I did a video for a group called Broken Toaster, and they were trying to raise 10 grand from Kickstarter, and they didn't make it.
Yeah, that is a shame. They are great as well.
And you are going to produce your own pilot. And you said, why don't you tell me about how you went about it? So people
a
who...
A brief history.
Yes.
In a nutshell, So the show that we're making is called Don't Tape Over.
Mm-hmm.
And we made an 8-minute pilot of this show 6 years ago now, I believe. 2012, I think we uploaded it. And it generated a bit of interest within the TV world.
Arsehole world.
Yeah. It was very exciting at the time. We weren't really expecting much from it. We were making it on our weekends and free time, and we had no budget.
Well, enough of a sub story, mate.
Yeah, sorry, mate. So basically, it eventually ended with Bob Mortimer taking a real shine to it. He wanted to develop it. We started developing it. We got close to getting a pilot with the BBC, but then we were denied this, and they couldn't see it as a longer format, as a, you know, an episodic 30 minute piece. And basically, we watched it a few months after, and we thought, you know what, we do love this. And people were often saying, what's going on? We Don't Tape Over.
So it was still on the internet, interweb.
It was on the interweb, yeah. We didn't get the pilot, and we said, right, we still want to make this, so let's make it ourselves. And that is when we thought, well, we're going to need some cash to do so. So we went through Kickstarter.
And Kickstarter, it feels quite swamped. And one of those ideas, when it first comes out, everyone, the first few people make loads of money.
Mm.
And then we were talking before about people who've got like their Edinburgh shows on Kickstarter, and things which sound like a bit like excuses to go on holiday on Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's, well, there's so much stuff out there that you can donate money to, i.e. charities. Why would you want to donate to, you know, a group of lads that want to make a funny long video?
So why is it that your video is more important than like kids with no spines and stuff like that?
I think it's because it's a lot more enjoyable to watch a comedy video than to watch a saggy teenager.
When I'm children with no spines.
Children, yeah, well, you know, even still, I think it's just more entertaining to watch a funny video. And also, that video could cheer them up. Do you know what I mean?
So, and for a second, they would forget that they didn't have a spine.
Yeah, for 30 minutes they can sit there going, oh, everything's fine, and I'm just concentrating on this.
And if all the children without any spines watch your half an hour episode, that adds up to about 3 lifetimes of children without spines.
And the thing is, if you've not got a spine, there's not a great deal to do other than lay there. So to put our show on in front of them is a blessing.
Well, I put it that way, I think they should disband a lot of these charities for these kids.
Just let them watch.
Just want them. Why don't they get their money and put it towards comedy videos?
Well, they do. That's why ours was a successful campaign.
So is it getting a bit confusing now? So you directly appealed to children with no spines?
No, I mean, we sold it as what it was. It was we wanted to make a standalone pilot episode for a sketch / narrative based comedy.
So say I was going to, I've got a film. Well, I'm going to be making a film. I'm going about a different route. But say I was going around in the Kickstarter route. What tips did you have on how did you get them about how to have a successful fundraising campaign?
Well, we were quite lucky initially before we released. I think it's really important that you make a Kickstarter video, because obviously on the page you get to fill in all your details, but also at the top of the page you can have video, and it's just a lot easier to watch a video and try and get as many points across as possible. We were looking at other Kickstarter videos. One that we saw was for, do you know the film, What They Do in the Shadows? Is that what it's called?
Oh, the Taika Waititi, the vampire one.
The vampire one, yeah. We watched that.
That was a Kickstarter campaign.
So, not the film, but for the distribution rights to distribute the film around the world.
Oh, really?
They needed a certain amount of cash to do that. Which is mad, isn't it? Because it was a really good film.
Yeah.
So they did a Kickstarter campaign, and we took a lot of... It's not so much stealing. I think if you just do your research and look at what works in their video, you know, whether it's talking to camera or giving certain facts and why they need the cash and all that kind of stuff. So we kind of made a video. We come up with the idea of the Kickstarter campaign. But before we released it, we... Ryan, who is... one of our co-writers, actors, and edits all of our stuff. He's got a friend called Andrew Harmer. Now, he did a campaign for a film called The Fitzroy, and he was after £70,000.
Wow.
For a feature film that he was making. And he was so good because he basically sent us about 2 pages of notes saying, this is what you want to do. Don't do this. Take this out. And we spent another month working on it using all of his notes.
And he was successful with the Fitzroy getting the 70 grand.
Yeah, he got all of the money. And it was like, it was stuff that we'd have... So with Kickstarter, you can have... It's up to you how long you have the campaign out for. So you can go 60 days or 30 days. I think we did 21 days. But we were going to do like a month or 60 days because you think, if I've got more time, I can get more money.
Mm.
But he, with his notes and the advice was given, was if you can do it in 60, you can do it in 21 days. And he keeps it fresh. And if you're releasing something every day and you're promoting, by the time you get, you know, 30 days in or whatever, people are just kind of like bored.
Hatred. They probably feel some sort of hatred.
Hatred. The money's drying up. No one wants to keep donating. So we kept it short and sweet. And then that meant that we could... Because with this campaign, you've got to take it very seriously. If you want to make the money, you have to treat it like a job. That was another one of his tips, is you've got to treat it like a job, which is tough if you're working full-time. But Ryan we had his bedroom was basically the epicenter. So that's where we did all our doings from. And he would stay in the room, basically, for the entire run. And we would come in and out. And it was...
It's a great name for a bedroom, the epicenter, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it was good, but we were... So our plan was for every day during that campaign was to release something. Some kind of... What's the word?
Content.
Content, that's the word I'm looking for. So we do things... So we have a history of our own sketches, which is obviously a good start if you've got a bit of a background. And I mean... Can I call it a small fan base? Maybe. We had a little bit of a fan base, which helped. So we were releasing stuff like outtakes from previous sketches. What else did we release? Oh, if like a fresh sketch. If we had a sketch that we'd not released, which we released on one of these days. So every day, giving something... You know, it wasn't just like, will you donate money to us? It was, can you donate some money? Here's a little fun video you can watch, which I think helped. And also, everyone that backed that day, we would thank them at the end of the day. You know, tag them on Facebook or whatever and just say, thank you for the great donation from X or whoever, and just keeping everyone on board. So it's very much like hard, fast, and quick.
They're the three... You might as well get a tattoo of that. On your body somewhere.
Yeah.
As a reminder, hard, fast and quick.
But it kept people engaged, I think.
So that's your first tip, is keep it short, 21 days. Second tip is produce, treat it like a job,
mm-hmm.
and produce regular content.
Yes.
Is that all of the tips?
No, there's other... I mean, we used there's no right way of doing it. We had a successful campaign, so we can give as much advice as what we had. There's other little things, like there's a thing you can use called Green Inbox. Have you heard of Green Inbox?
No.
So it's, I'm not going to use the word dodgy. It's not dodgy, really.
Is it on the dark web?
No, it's technically legal. But what it originally, Green Inbox, what you'd do is you'd pay the Green Inbox a bit of cash, and then you'd have a template of a message saying, "Hey man, just thought you might be interested in this, could be up your street." You know, make it a little bit personalised.
Mm-hmm.
But then that message was kind of fired out to all of your contacts on Facebook originally. But they had stopped doing that.
Oh, so that would be a direct message?
Be a direct message. But that didn't... that option was gone by the time we got to Green Inbox. But they use email. So they take all your contacts from Facebook and then send an email to them. And you pay them a small amount of money. But we made more money. We received more money from doing that than we did spend on doing that.
How much did you pay them? Can you reveal that?
It's not that... I mean, I want to say something like £15 or...
Oh, right.
It's relatively cheap. I'm not exactly sure on the figures.
But maybe that's illegal now after this data protection thing.
Well, yeah, that could... That's what I'm saying. It could be a little bit ropey.
So tip three is be prepared to do illegal... be prepared to do illegal things.
I'd say tip three is keep an open mind and...
be prepared to do illegal...
You know... Do what you've got to do to raise them funds. But the most important one, I think, is the video is very important. Your Kickstarter video. You've seen that Kickstarter video.
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's, you know, you've got to get all the information across and you've got to keep it engaging. And what we had in the Kickstarter video was a little thing. We talked about Chris Pizza. I don't know if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
And my kind of character is chatting about how he wants to actually sell Chris Pizza, and this is what the Kickstarter is really about. And then from that, we started making little separate videos for anyone that cared, which was about Chris Pizza.
And in terms of making these videos, did you make those out of your own money then?
Yeah. So that was, you know, we kept it cheap. We had a lot of archive footage from ourselves. We got Bob Mortimer to do a little, tiny little clip in there, which may have helped in some ways. And then we kept doing updates, so if we'd hit a target, if we'd hit £2,000, we'd do an update saying thanking the people. But part of that update wasn't just us going, okay, cheers, thanks for the update. We'd, the preamble there would be a little bit of a sketch, and then we'd thank the audience. Just basically, I mean, it depends what you're asking money for. We're asking money to fund a pilot because we're comedy writers that make videos, so we had the ability, you know, we had the option to make them videos and give people what, you know, they want to see comedy videos and then ask for money.
And then did you have a reward scheme of, I mean, listeners, this, donators to this podcast will know they receive a lovely pin badge and a letter from me, which is of at least,
yeah,
value of at least £5,000.
Mm.
Did you have anything that good in your reward scheme?
Yeah, so we did a whole range of rewards. I think that's another good point as well. The reward scheme's really good because it's another incentive. And if you have a bit of a following or people just, you know, people like to have a little bit of something that not everyone else has got a little bit of. So we started ours from £1. You could donate £1 and you became a Celdiffin.
Oh, actual levels of
names. Yeah, official Seldom Differ fan.
Wow.
And then it went all the way up to £2,500.
And what was your biggest donation you got from someone?
£1,000.
Wow.
Yeah, there was a couple of £1,000 donations, and that would get you an executive producer credit, as well as all the other stuff. We got artwork from my brother designed some postcards. He's an illustrator, Sam Skillington, Samuel Paul Skillington. Check him out.
Samuel Paul Skillington, illustrator.
He basically made caricatures of some of the characters from our previous works, and you can have them on a postcard, or if you paid like I think £25 or £35, you could get a an A4 kind of glossy print. So we did that. 750 quid got your curry with the lads, where we'd take them out for a curry. Nice. Badgers, of course, as you know. Digital versions of the show, you know, first releases, you'll get the DVD. One of the offers was a VHS tape with the actual pilot on itself.
That's going to be a pain in the ass to make, isn't it?
Yeah, the thing is, what I would say is be wary about what you're offering, and whether you can, you know...
Cut and send a dick pic.
whether you can actually do it by the time... Because at first you go, okay, what can we offer, what can we offer? We want to give them everything. We want the money. But then actually you finish the campaign and you have to follow up with that. So that's going to be a bit of a nightmare. We're going to get everyone done, but we're thinking it might be a lot of kind of going around to the houses and posting it rather than paying a lot of postage and packaging.
Postage and packaging?
P&P.
It's bullshit, isn't it?
Yeah.
I can't believe how much stamps are. About a quid for a first class stamp.
Well, you wonder why the internet's winning. I mean, you know, the post office is on its way out. But we had 300 backers.
That's like 300 quid gone on post. Well, if you get, you're sending stuff. And the packaging, a parcel, £2.95.
Exactly. Individually, it's, you know, we're going to be like, right, well, now we're going to have to start another campaign on Kickstarter.
To do that, and once you get help. The large envelope bit, if you put badges in, and they try and put it, and you take it to the post office, and they put it through their different slits to see what size it is.
Yeah.
And I've been through when I sent badges to people, and I see them not push it through enough. Well, that badge can definitely go through that slit, and then you see them not do it, you think, you arsehole post office person, you're doing it on purpose to cost me another extra 40p.
Just slipping marbles into the bag or something to weigh it up a bit more. Well, they're struggling, aren't they? They're a struggling company. Do you send your badges individually?
Yeah.
Posting.
Second class post and a letter, and I just put them in the post box.
Is it signed?
I just always just write a letter saying thank you. And I write a different letter each time. There's no standard letter. It's almost illegible because my writing's so bad. Well, I like to imagine disappointment on people's faces. I mean, why don't you donate to this and you can get one and feel that disappointment yourself?
Yeah. But badges are great for that because you can get them in bulk. You know, and a reward, you can say, donate a fiver and we'll give you a badge. And you're making profit on that.
Yeah. And it's also keeping people interested.
It's time for a little break. Just have a relax. Let's get back to it.
So you raised how much exactly for your Kickstarter?
I think we originally asked for about 12,500 was our target originally, but we surpassed our target.
Yes.
And on Kickstarter, what they do is they make a stretch goal target. So once you've got the money, rather than saying...
Give it to the spineless kids.
Yes. Because we got the money before our campaign was even up, which is, you know, excellent. Very grateful for all the donations that we got. But rather than just giving up the campaign, you go, well, actually... Because we always knew that was never going to be enough money to pay for the pilot. But it sounded like a sensible goal, you know. So then you add a stretch goal, and we said, oh, now we want to make 16 grand. Which we didn't get, but I think we raised... about 14.5 grand in the end.
That's great. But how much do you think the campaign actually costs? Because I think people don't budget in the actual cost of all the rewards and all the actual making those videos and all that business.
Well, the biggest hitter is Kickstarter itself will take 5%.
What?
Yeah. So, I mean, Kickstarter for themselves is such a good business format. Because they don't do anything. All they do... So we got Pick of the Week, which is like, the you know, essentially the staff at Kickstarter like this campaign, and they put it on the front page, so it pushes it. But what Kickstarter will do is, you know, if you're asking for 200 quid, they're going to be like, well, you know, 5% of 200 quid is nothing. But these, you know, like I said, the film where the guy got 70 grand, Kickstarter are going to want to push that. Because if they make their target, they're going to, you know, 5% of 70 grand. Do the math, Marek.
5% of 70 grand is where it'll be £50 per 1,000. So times that by 10 is £500 for every 10, £3,500.
Do you know what I mean? So they're going to push it. But so that's your biggest kind of payout, is paying Kickstarter itself. But then you can argue that if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't raise the money in the first place. Yeah. Indiegogo, of course, I'm not sure what I feel about this.
So why did you choose Kickstarter and not Indiegogo or another crowdfunding site?
We just heard good things about Kickstarter, that it was quite solid, you know, and they do help you push it. And whereas Indiegogo, it's a weird one, because with Indiegogo, you keep whatever you make, even if you don't make your goal. Now,
as in Kickstarter, you don't get it if you don't make your goal.
You don't get a penny. But which I find it weird with Indiegogo with that, because if you're donating, and I've got friends that have donated to Indiegogo projects, and they're asking for 10 grand and they've reached 200 quid, but they still get to keep the 200 quid. Are they going to put that towards trying to gain more money, or is that just 200 quid?
Yeah, they can't make the project.
No, so I find that a bit strange. To be honest, I can see why they do it, because obviously, if you're grand off, you can just top that up yourself. Whereas Kickstarter, you have got to make it. So that's the money there, and then postage and packaging. But like I said, try and deliver as much as you can. If you can get things like PDFs, anything online, you know, anything digital is a good reward, because you can just send that to an email. It's when you get physical, and we have a few physical ones, which we are going to have to either hand deliver if they're local, or, you know, we'll be forking out a few bob for postage and packaging, like you say.
So now you've got your money that you've had to top up. It's not enough for you to make this your pilot. You've finished making the pilot now. About a year later, you've just finished doing the first. You're doing the first edit now.
So we released the Kickstarter video into August 2016. So this August, it'll be 2 years since we started the campaign. And we have like a scene, maybe two, a couple of little bits and bobs to do, but the majority of it is done. And we kind of have a rough assemble. But yeah, it's going to be at least another month before it's looking anything like. It's been a long time, Marek.
It's difficult when you're working as well, isn't it? That's the problem.
Yeah. We've been working, and it's just hard work. We don't have, you know, we're looking at a pilot can cost between 100 and 200 grand if you're getting it made by the BBC, and you have a huge network and team there.
Mm-hmm.
We have, and I'll give the names to give them, you know, out of respect.
Give the names.
Myself, John Collins, writer-performer, Ryan Howes, writer-performer, editor, James Lord, director, and then Natalie Taylor, producer, is the core group. And then we went out and got guys that we know, guy that we've heard of. Natalie had a lot of a good contacts with people.
Did you pay that crew?
Yes, but it was token fees. You know, it's a passion project, which kind of hate doing, because you do want to pay everyone fairly, but it is a passion project. And to be fair, these guys that we're working with were just superb. A lot of them really kind of got behind the idea, got behind us, and we're lucky in that sense that they helped us out, because it takes so much longer.
And did the thing go over budget at all?
Well, yeah, I mean, from the Kickstarter, you know, we raised 14 grand. We certainly put another 14 grand in out of our own pockets, which is fair enough, because it's our project. So we were working, we did a few jobs, making videos for companies, like advertisements and stuff, and money that we made from that, we put a bit back in. But yeah, I mean, in terms of our original Kickstarter goal, yeah, we've gone way over budget. But we always knew that. But the risks would have been if we'd have gone, we want 30 grand and we made 15 on Kickstarter and that was it, and then we lost all that 15 grand. It was a risk that we weren't willing to take.
So it's very hard trying to work out that amount, I suppose. The initial amount is quite difficult.
Yeah. I mean, luckily we've all kind of bits and bobs. Our director used to work at Rough Cut and made a lot of, you know, comedy shows. You have a rough idea of how much these things are going to cost. And our producer, Natalie, has worked in that quite a lot as well. So we did have a rough idea, which helped. I mean, she always said it's going to be about 30 grand, which I think we kind of knew. Well, we did know, but we weren't willing to ask for it.
So that's that, so you've done it. That's brilliant.
Yeah, we're one of the Illumini. Illuminati, is that right?
The underground group that control the world.
Yeah.
That's what you mean.
But now, Marek, it's about delivering. Because I have so much love and respect for the people that donated, the people that cared. And you have, this is another thing as well, you'll find that if you're doing a campaign, you have kind of two different circles. You've got your inner circle, which is friends and family, who are more willing to donate, you hope, you know. You say, oh, I've got this thing going on. It's like, they begrudgingly have to kind of donate. And then the outer circle, which is people that don't really know you personally, they may know of your comedy from the past and they want to see more, or that's the difficult circle to get donating.
Yeah.
Because you'll find that, you know, initially you'll start your campaign and you'll go, oof, look at this. You know, it's a huge peak. We're getting loads of money in.
That's all your friends and family, first of all.
Friends and family are seeing it and going, da-da-da-da. And then you start levelling off, and then it gets quieter. And that's when the panic comes in. It's very stressful.
Yeah. That's what I found with this donating for this. I mean, I think I'm near 600 quid, so my thing can be really, really ultra-low budget.
Mm.
And basically, you can't really spend all the kit I've bought out of my own money, like the camera and the microphones and the tripod. The only thing I've bought is basically stuff that has to do with the film.
Yeah.
So basically a tripod I need to do the vlogging thing, and a prosthetic thumb, some music. And I've just bought, literally just buying things you don't even think of, like the hard drives.
Yeah.
For storage. I thought, you've got at least two big external hard drives. I mean, that's 200 quid gone on backing up the hard drive, and you should really have three. So I thought, I can't really put half the budget into external hard drives.
But the cheap ones you can struggle with because they can be incredibly slow
or unreliable,
so you've got to kind of get a
half decent
medium
one.
Yeah,
because otherwise they don't earn, there's some you think, oh, that's a really cheap price, oh, but transfers at 1 megabyte a minute.
And you're not, so you're doing it where you can, is it a patron page type thing?
No, my one is people donating through the podcast. There's no Patreon.
Yeah.
And what I've done is just ask people to donate. And originally I did one film script idea I started writing at the start of the year, wrote half the script and the rest of it. I thought, oh, I'd better show this to the producer to give to a proper line producer and say, what is this going to cost? Ring, this is all nice already. And he went, that'll be, if you don't pay anyone, that'll be 12 to 15 grand. And I thought, I'm never going to get that.
Yeah.
So I thought, what can I do where I can make it with the stuff I've got? So people will know my idea for film was about a bloke who's a vlogger who kills his partner and carries on vlogging. So I can basically use it. It's basically an extended vlog where I can film myself, so that cuts down pretty much most of the costs. And then if I work, and then so I'm just not, it's all filmed on this camera. But then you've got things like travel, food, and even to pay. I want to hopefully pay the actors, even like minimum wage is like 50 quid a day. And if you've got about 10 days of actors, that's 500 quid. So I'm hoping to get just over £1,000, £2,000 that I can do it for that, I think. It'll be terrible. Oh, no, it won't be terrible, but it might be terrible.
No, I'm sure, as long as it's well written. We cutting corners in terms of like actually shooting, just pulling in as many favours as possible.
Yeah.
The biggest killer you'll find is location is just a nightmare. Because not only is it finding it, it's then being allowed to shoot on it and making sure it has the facilities, because if you have 12, 15 crew members who are doing it for fuck all, the least you can give them is somewhere they can go.
Food and a toilet.
Food and a toilet. But that was, I mean, when we did like 8 days in a row shooting up in, well, we travelled from like Sheffield and then down to the seaside and stuff, but when I was up in Sheffield, my auntie used to run a catering business. And I said, you know, how do you fancy blowing the dust off of the buffet table and getting it back out? And we, you know, we paid a few bob, but way cheaper than it would have been. But that's how I always remember Shane Meadows talking about that when he was started making films, and he was saying you've got to pull in as many favours and get your mum or your friend's mum to help you out and stuff. So I was like, okay, I can get catering, friends who can drive around, pick up stuff. One of my best mates, Dave Bates, he was a runner on it.
Best mates Dave Bates.
He was driving the van around and he was brilliant. Just, you needed anything, he'd go off, pick stuff up. It was a real community, and it had to be to keep the cost down.
And what other tips have you got, having filmed most of it, that you've learned out there that you could give to one of the billion filmmakers who listen to this?
Well, the biggest one is keep the faith and stay true, which is nonsensical bit of advice, but I mean in the sense of, if you've not got the right group that all are on the same page, it's going to be a nightmare. It's going to be shit at times. You're going to argue with people. But you have to remember that. And that's what's good about the Kickstarter. There's a kind of a... even though we always wanted to do it, there's that added pressure, because you know that people have donated and you know that people have believed in you. So if you mess up or you give up or you just, you know, can't be asked, you're letting a lot of people down. And, you know, why would, if you want to do something again in the future, why would they bother? So that's something we've stuck to as being mates and being in this kind of nightmare for, you know, over 10 years. Cost, keeping the cost down as much as possible. Pull in the favours, you know, don't be afraid to ask. I mean, they say it's easier to get forgiveness than it is to get permission. That's true in a lot of cases. But you don't want to film somewhere and then not get permission, and then they say, if you do use that footage, we're going to sue you. And
that's a child's graveyard.
You've just, yeah, exactly. It can be. But pulling in favours, you know, we're in a world now, you've got Facebook, you've got all these, you've got communities on Facebook, you've got, they're very specific, you know. Just ringing around, just ringing these people and going, can we shoot there? You never know. We got a pub in Sheffield, we were struggling to find pubs, and then I just started ringing around. To first, like, one of my favourite pubs in Sheffield, the Washington, just rang him and explained the situation. Initially, he was a bit like, oh, I've had students trying to film in here before. And I was like, well, look, we've got this little bit of cash. Talk to him, haggle. You can do it a lot cheaper. Any more advice that I've not already said? I don't know.
Work it out yourself, mate.
You'll have to... add me on Instagram at Matt Skellington, and
I was going to do that. I was going to do that plug now. Why not?
Oh no, I wasn't trying to plug Marek. I was just saying, you know, if you've got any more questions, it's
send a picture of it on Instagram.
No, or Selvniffer. We got, like, the other lads will probably be able to answer it better than I have. I hope that I've answered some questions. And
that's been, so you can find out more about Matt. Why not follow Matt on Instagram at Matt Skellington?
I think so. Yeah.
Or Selvniffer at Selvniffer.
No, Twitter. I'm Matt Skellington on Twitter.
It's really weird with the Twitter's got a set number of letters, so my thing's called Matt Makes a Movie, but when I was trying to do it on Twitter, I spent about an hour typing in Matt Makes a Movie. It's not allowed. I thought, what? Oh no, it's too long for Twitter. Now I've done all the picture. I've done everything. So it's called Matt. Oh shit.
Makes a Movie. Yeah, there's so much to talk about, I suppose, and it's hard to kind of think off the top of your head, because I look back now, especially that 8-day stretch that we did filming, with fond memories. Because it was, you know, it was great fun. It was a team of people that really wanted to be making what we were making. And it was exciting. But at the time, you know, there would have been times where I proper had the face on, or, you know, you just feel tired and you're just like, oh, God, this is...
That's the worst thing about filming stuff, is when you don't, no one tells you that you're literally getting 4 hours, 5 hours sleep a night.
Mm.
And it's okay for two or three nights. I've listened to other filmmaking podcasts where they actually put a break in, because you just do it for three or four nights, and sometimes it gets to the fourth or fifth day, then everyone is so knackered that things start going slower, people start making mistakes. You realise, and you've got acting a sketch, which was your dream to make, but you're so tired, you can't do your best performance because you're exhausted.
Yeah.
So some people actually put break days in filming.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Where they do 3 days, and they'll do a break, or even break for a weekend, or...
That's actually a really good tip, because we, after that 8 days, we then came back to London, then the following day went back to Sheffield, or something ridiculous like that. Back to Sheffield, went to film at my granddad's house, actually. Locations, there's another tip. Think of your family members and what houses they have.
Mm.
Because, you know, it can really help. I mean, we filmed at my granddad's, which is ideal location. We got it for free. But after that day, I remember James, our director, kind of going, because we're meant to be filming another sketch the day after. And it was kind of like, do you know what? I think I've burnt myself out. And we all felt the same. It was kind of like, I don't want to do anything tomorrow. Because, like you say, you start just getting sluggish and going, I'm not enjoying this now. And it's going to come across on the camera. So, yeah, break days are great. For sure.
Well, that's loads of information. That's great. Thank you for your time, Matt.
That's all right. I hope it's helpful. You know.
Well, I'm sure people will write you and tell you. And they can find you on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram.
Yeah. So, Selden Differ on Facebook. You can follow us on that. We give constant updates of how Don't Tip Over's going. And Instagram, Selden Differ. Is it Selden Differ Comedy? I think it's just Selden Differ on Instagram. Yeah, so follow us and you'll see all the updates.
And check out their brilliant YouTube videos, Selden Differ, the YouTube channel. And also, Matt's got a great podcast called Skileave It or Not, which I've done one of.
Yeah, you were excellent on it.
Well, I didn't make sense for a lot of the time, but people will be used to that. But yeah, well, thank you very much for your time.
No problem, thanks for having me on.
All right, stay hygienic.
Marek makes a movie. Marek makes a movie. Thank you.